Again, public hearings, we have three before us, beginning with conditional use number 1656, ML Joseph's Construction. The way we run this hearing is Mr. Lank will read the application. Mr. Griffin, our legal counsel, will explain the way we will conduct the public hearing before us. Mr. Griffin.
Good evening. When council holds public hearings on zoning cases, they're sitting in a legislative capacity. Council uses the information that they hear at these hearings to determine whether or not to grant the application that's been placed before them. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank, who's the director of the Planning and Zoning Office, will give a report to council on what happened at the commission level and review briefly what was put into the record and any action taken by the commission. After he does that, then we will call on the applicants, and there are three zoning hearings tonight. So we'll call on the applicant, ask the applicant to come forward, state their name and their address, and tell council why they filed the application and why they believe it should be granted. If there are people here who are in opposition, after the applicant has spoken, they will be given an opportunity to have their say. After both sides of the issue have been heard, then council will decide whether it chooses to take action tonight or whether it will defer to another date. If you have a cell phone with you, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. If you are here with a group of people on a particular application, if you have a spokesman, we would ask the spokesperson to identify themselves as a representative of the group. Mr. Lank?
Yes, John, thank you. The first application is conditional use number 1656. It is the application of ML Joseph Construction to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a C1 general commercial district for the purpose of grinding of vegetative material and mulch storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 20.88 acres, more or less, lying on the east side of U.S. Route 113, approximately 1,000 feet north of U.S. Route 113 and Road 432, also known as Stokely Road intersection. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on May 25th of 2006. During that process, the commission received a packet of information that included a site plan, an aerial photograph, proposed conditions, photographs of the existing storage equipment on the site, the existing storage buildings, existing material storage area, the existing entrance of U.S. Route 113, a scale on the property, other commercial use in the area, and at the area where tree and stump materials will be stored until grinding took place. We heard comments from DelDOT that the existing level of service B will not change as a result of this application. We heard comments from the Conservation District in reference to the soil types and their abilities to handle the proposal. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department. We also heard comments from Kenneth Adams on behalf of ML Joseph Construction and J.C. Owens of Design Consultants Group, LLC, both present on behalf of the application. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1656 for ML Joseph Construction for the grinding of vegetative material and mulch storage based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the operation of the grinding of vegetative materials will be beneficial to the community through the recycling of materials whereby the vegetative materials can be used for mulch rather than filling up our landfill with tree stumps and trees. Two, there should be no adverse impact on neighboring property owners since there were no objection from neighboring property owners. Three, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, the hours of operation will be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 6 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays for the acceptance of materials to be stored. Two, grinding of materials may be performed from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday with no grinding on Saturdays. Three, the facility will be closed on Sundays. Four, only tree stumps and tree materials from clearing activities will be accepted. There shall be no acceptance of construction waste for processing. Five, a dry hydrant will be installed on the north end of the bar pit for fire protection. And six, the entrance that is currently gated shall continue to be gated when the facility is not in operation. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of council, I did pass down copies of the same packet the commission reviewed. We also received a letter from Edward J. K. Construction Incorporated, which states, I propose the following: to grind and haul material off-site as needed from property on Route 113 in Georgetown, providing grinding services at the proposed site, makes reference to the location by tax map and physical location, and then that the material would be hauled off-site. And that's all I have, gentlemen. Let's have questions.
Is the applicant here tonight or represented? Would you like to proceed?
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is J.C. Owens of Design Consultants Group, located in Milton, Delaware. With me tonight is Mr. Kenneth Adams, president of Melvin Joseph Construction Company. We are before you tonight to request a conditional use of 20.88 acres site for the purpose of storing, grinding, and recycling of stumps and tree material from commercial and residential lot clearing activities. The site is currently zoned AR1 and commercial. Since the 50s, this has been used for a bar pit, material storage, equipment storage, fueling station, and weigh station for Melvin Joseph construction activities. Material will be brought to the site and stored until such time that the grinding will occur. The material will be stored in an area of approximately 4 acres in size.
You'll look at your aerial photograph. Your present material storage will be in this area right here.
Melvin Joseph Construction Company estimates that this area will handle approximately 4 to 6 months of recyclable material, and that grinding will occur approximately every 4 to 6 months, and will take approximately 1 week to grind and haul the recycled material off-site. The grinding and hauling operation will be handled through the Edward K. Construction Company, as Mr. Lank had the letter. The hours of operation for accepting recyclable material will be Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6 a.m. to noon. All grinding operations will be from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday only. For fire protection, there is an existing irrigation pump on the southern end of the pit, and we propose to install a dry hydrant on the northern end. There is an existing entrance already installed that can handle the traffic of the trucks coming in and out of the site. There are also existing scales on site that will be used in the weighing of the trucks entering and exiting the site. We respectfully request you look favorably upon this application.
Any questions, gentlemen?
The only one question is, it says grinding will be performed 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., but it's only on those every 4 to 6 months for that 1 week or something like that? I've had some complaints where some development's been going on, they've been doing it on site and stuff, and it does get very noisy. Is there any possibility that there could be some kind of buffering put up there that would prevent this grinding noise that would start and probably go, if you're going to have 7 or 4 months of material there, it could go on nonstop for, you know, that period, that whatever it takes to
for
grind it up. Right.
Week.
So, I mean, I can... I'm sure there's various ways to buffer sound. Is it something that during a site plan approval process that you all could come back with a recommendation to the P&Z Commission that says, here's what we propose?
Is it going to be in the pit, down in the pit, or?
Yeah. Currently, there is a wooded buffer here.
Right.
There's woods along this side, and all this out front is commercial.
Right, I understand that. But still, even commercial people might find that grinding, you know, nonstop grinding for a week or two would be annoying after a while.
That's possible. Okay.
I mean, did you take that into consideration, or is it possible that you could take that into consideration to address the possible noise?
Sir, it's Ken Adams, Millsburg, Delaware. I'm president of Melvin Joseph Construction.
Right.
Actually, that's kind of why we put it during business hours, Monday through Friday, you know, inside the pit, which is we're probably, I don't know, 100 yards away from any other, you know, existing businesses.
It is nonstop for a week or two could be, even to a business, you know, people who are trying to conduct business. Yeah. Anyway, is there any, there's ways to do it. I mean, I'm sure you could put up some kind of fences or so you could put up some kind of a, or dig it out. Like Dale said, is it in the pit?
It's in the bottom, it's down in the bottom of the pit.
Okay, can we make that a condition that the grinding activity has to occur in a below grade area so that it keeps the noise buffered down? I mean, because.
How deep is the pit?
Because if Eddie Kay gets out there grinding, it's noisy and we need to, you know, fall back on something, I think.
You're probably
back here. You're probably 6 or 8 feet below back in this area.
Mm-hmm. Below grade.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where we propose to grind. So yeah, that yes.
Right, but
if it pleases the commission, we can.
I mean, there's a lot of inexpensive ways, and I mean, even if it was a berm, you guys got all kinds of dirt. Even if you dug a berm around there and built one up, right?
If I may, actually.
All mulch up there.
Anything.
Actually,
just tell me something.
From here to here, is stone storage just piles probably 30 feet high existing in front. And then you would have wooded buffers on this side, wooded buffers on this side.
Yeah, but that little strip of wooded buffer. Okay. It sounds to me like you have a problem putting a berm of some dirt or something or keeping it below, or you don't have a problem.
Okay. I don't have a problem.
Then. Okay, then something could reflect, Jim, that the operation will be buffered somehow, whether it's in the pit or something.
I think you just demonstrated that it's buffered.
Because Eddie Kay could move that thing all over the place.
Maybe you could just direct the commission on site plan review, take that issue under consideration.
Well, I'm trying to find out that there's some kind of buffering. And I don't think those little skinny row of trees means much. And then the other wooded area is not even Mr. Joseph's land, is it, in the back there?
No.
Behind the pit?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to have somebody else's land be the buffer because if
that water.
But anyway.
That water better.
So I don't. If there's no problem, I'd like to see some kind of buffering.
I've had Mr. K grind stumps for me, and I didn't find the noise offensive.
Well, I'm sure, Dale, you haven't found anything offensive.
I've had the same machine on my property, Mr. Cole.
Dale, okay. But, Dale, this could be a two-week operation from 7 to 5, non-stop.
Have you talked to the neighbors, commercial neighbors?
Yeah. I've spoken to all my commercial neighbors,
okay. And
they didn't have any objections.
Gentlemen, any further questions?
How far is the only resident is this one?
I know that, but still, it's a no-brainer to do it.
The resident?
Yeah.
I would say the only resident is back here.
There, right.
This is David Banks' commercial property
right,
here.
Right.
William Pepper's commercial, non-hydraulics commercial,
right.
Us, and other commercial stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Big difference in their type of commercial activity and yours, that's all. That's all right. I can't believe there's an issue.
See if they're here to complain.
Pardon me, Dale?
Let's see if they're here to complain.
No, Dale. The potential for complaints is there if we don't do something. And it's easy to address it now if there's a consensus to put it in there. Mr. Griffin, do you have anything that possibly could address it?
Well, you could say something like this. During site plan review, the commission shall impose such conditions as they consider reasonable to prevent the transmission of grinding noises beyond the applicant's boundary lines.
Right, that'd be fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any problem. As a condition, if somebody does have a complaint, then there's a way we can come back and address it in the future.
I appreciate your effort to pacify Mr. Cole, but...
Not pacifying this, man.
To suggest that there's a way to contain the noise to that property, I don't think
I'd have to be an engineer to know whether that's possible.
But the motion or the language you have used is suggesting that that is what we desire.
It's what you desire is what you include in your motion, and three of you vote on.
Well, if Mr. Cole wants to make a motion to include that, I would.
Well, let's finish the hearing first.
Vote.
Let's finish the hearing. See who's here. Any other further questions, gentlemen, of the applicant?
Yeah, maybe we're putting the cart before the horse.
Mr. Griffin,
that concludes your presentation.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is
there anyone else here who would like to be heard regarding this application of ML Joseph Construction Company? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. We will close the hearing. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
I'll make the suggestion that, or the motion that we make that another condition about the Planning and Zoning Commission addressing the noise the way you had it worded, Jim.
Second.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, that'd be fine.
In the discussion just previous, you made reference that all grinding activity shall occur within the existing bar pit area. The commission in their motion, we did forget to put in the site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the commission. And then, as George stated, you would expand upon that line item to be whatever Jim stated. And I put during the site plan review, the commission may require the applicant to provide some method of buffering noise from adjacent properties.
Yeah.
Similar to what it said. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get all his wording.
That'd be fine. Either way.
Okay, gentlemen, you've heard.
I think it does the same thing.
By Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Jones.
Can you read the language that we're voting on?
We'll go with Mr. Lank.
Mr. Lank, would you read again the last thing?
Number five, I had a misspelling. It should be the instead of he. Number seven would be all grinding activity shall occur within the existing bar pit area. Number eight would be the site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission, period. And added to that, during the site plan review, the commission may require the applicant to provide some method of buffering noise from adjacent properties. Then the applicant could offer their, what they feel their best method, and the commission would acceptable to it. They would make that as part of the site plan. Could be a berm, could be fence, or
could be just
what's already there. If it's already piled up with 30 foot of stone, it might not be need anymore. I mean, they'd have to see it.
You vote on the condition or just put them on there when we read
the
title?
I would just vote on the motions on the floor.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor by Mr. Cole, second Mr. Jones, to add the two conditions. Site plan review required by...
We're just talking about Mr. Cole's condition now.
Okay.
And Mr. Adding Cole's, the wording to
add
that.
Add the wording that Mr. Griffith put forth to us about the buffering. They may do that during site plan review. Is that it? Is the only questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes, it makes for good neighbors.
Phillips?
I vote no. I think that the applicant has shown that the site is going to be adequately buffered as it is and with no objection from the neighbors who have been informed of what's going on. It's obvious that it's just an overreach.
Mr. Jones?
Yes. My vote is yes.
What?
Yes.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes?
My vote is no. He's got a buffer there of stone of about 20, 30 feet tall, and wood's on two sides. And as I stated, I've had this machine on my property, and it's not offensive that I can tell, and my vote's no.
My vote would be no also for the same reasons. All right. Mr. Griffith, read the title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and the C1 general commercial district for the grinding of vegetative material and mulch storage to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsburg 100 containing 20.88 acres.
Yeah, we got you. Mr. Griffith, Mr. Lank.
Sir.
The conditions you need to add to it. That site plan review. Is that on there? You had that on there?
It's required by code anyway,
but
so
you didn't put
it
on the conditions of PNZ, right?
Yeah, you can. You can make that part that the site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's usually a standard. I forgot.
How many conditions?
The commission forgot to put it in. And
there would be two. There would be that one, and then all grinding activity shall occur in the existing pit area. Those were the two Mr. Lank recommended.
Okay, you heard the title, gentlemen. Two conditions.
Make a motion to approve CU 1656 with the
two
amended or added conditions and the others that were presented by the Planning and Zoning Commission, which were six. So I guess that's a total of eight.
I'll second that motion.
Motion Mr. Duke, second by Mr. Jones to approve conditional use number 1656, that of ML Joseph Construction for mulching with eight conditions. Eight conditions. Questions? Call for the vote. Mr. Cole.
It's a little short-sighted not to address the noise issue, but when the people call, if they do call ever and complain, I'll send them to Mr. Dukes and Mr. Phillips. So, I'll vote yes. It's
Mr. Phillips.
Since your constituents are already calling us for service, it's probably appropriate you said that. I'll vote yes based on the record recommendation by planning and zoning with the additional two provisions.
Mr. Phillips votes yes. Mr. Jones?
I vote yes with the conditions and the modification of the conditions.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes?
My number's in the book. I get calls constantly, and so if I get calls, I'll be glad to accept those. But with the eight conditions, I don't see it's going to be a problem at all. My vote yes.
Mr. Dukes votes yes. Based on the record recommendation, planning and zoning with the conditions added this evening, make the total vote. My vote would be yes. Motion passed. Next case.
Mr. Lang?
Sir.
1657.
Yes, this is an application of Johnson's Country Market to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a produce market sales facility to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 32.924 acres, more or less, lying south of Route 20, also known as Zion Church Road, 1,290 feet west of Road 391. The Planning and Zoning Commission also held a public hearing on this application on May 25th of the year 2006. The commission found that the applicant had submitted a survey and site plan for their proposed produce market sales facility. We heard comments from DelDOT that the level of service A of Zion Church Road may change the level of service B when the site is fully developed. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District in reference to soils and their capabilities. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department that the site is not located in a county operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district, that the site is within the boundaries of the proposed Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District, that a public hearing will be held on October 14th of the year 2006 in reference to the sewer district, and that the concept plan is not required. Keith Johnson was present on behalf of the application and gave testimony in support of the use of the property on behalf of the applicants. The commission was advised of the applicant's statements making reference on his application to produce sales, the sale of baked goods, jellies, proposing a greenhouse, the sale of crab meats, novelty and craft items, and in the future to add Christmas trees, possibly plies, dressed meat, bulk goods, prepared foods, possibly a corn maze, a pumpkin patch, and a youth pick area. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1657 for Johnson's Country Market for a produce sales facility to sell the types of items described by the applicant during his presentation, and based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is similar to other uses in the vicinity of the property. Two, the use of the produce sales facility promotes local agriculture and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. Three, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. And four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, there may be a sign on the project not to exceed 32 square feet per side or facing. Two, the hours of operation for the site shall be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 days per week. Three, there shall be no outside storage other than agricultural products or landscape materials on premise. A trash dumpster, which shall be screened from view from neighboring properties, may be allowed. Four, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be directed downward and away from impacting neighboring properties. Five, the applicant shall comply with all DelDOT requirements, including entrance permits. The applicant is urged to relocate the parking spaces outside of the 40-foot front yard setback. Six, the site plan shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of council, I passed down copies of survey and site plan for this application. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
Good evening, Mr. Johnson. Would you like to go ahead?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Appreciate you taking the opportunity to, allowing me to have the opportunity to present to you my...
Could you give us your, before you begin, give us your name and address?
I apologize. Name's Keith Johnson, 37049 Johnson Road, Selbyville. The building placement is on 36258 Zion Church Road, Selbyville, Delaware, which is also known as Route 20. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity to present to you my conditional use. With me tonight, if I may, I have my mother and father, Henry and Mary Lou Johnson, one of my partners, Clay Johnson, and his wife, Wanda, and also my wife, Rebecca, and our two youngest children, Madison and Caitlin. I'm requesting a conditional use of our property to allow us to continue the processes that we're currently doing with our market in some cases and to possibly expand in the future. Presently, we're produce sales, including selling jellies, and we're hoping to possibly have a greenhouse in the future, baked goods, crab meat, novelty items. We did do Christmas trees last year, and I wanted to come into compliance, including wreaths and gift items associated with Christmas, pies, dress beats, bulk goods, preparing foods in the future as well. A lot of our gift items are in the form of country crafts, which I did bring an example and another one in the back of what country crafts might look like. In this case, it's a gift basket. Based around products that we do not make on our farm, but we do orchestrate the baskets and the materials within the basket. Also in the back we have some painted gourds, which is one of the other items. P&Z had requested some information, so we brought a little information along with us this time for you.
I thought you were going to say they requested samples.
You get you your own basket.
You got to read between the lines.
The lobbying tool.
These are...
Dale wants is a gift basket.
These were not intended as bribery. we could open them up and sample them if need be.
Here comes the gift.
They're also... these items are quite often made by the family, in which my wife made this one. And then we're also selling Ertl toy tractors as well, which fits into the country theme that that we're trying to establish there. We are a seventh generation farm. My children and my brother's children are the seventh generation. This is our seventh season with the U-Pick pumpkins and our sixth season with producing vegetables, majority of which we do try to produce ourselves, but certain items are just unable to be produced in our fields. Haven't been able to come over to banana inquiry yet. This act will enable us to continue to farm and remain as potential open space for our neighbors and a pleasing environment for them. And that's why we wanted to come into compliance and enable us to remain there and hopefully prosper for many years to come.
Is there anything on the stipulations that planning and zoning suggested that maybe you would like to modify?
Yes, actually, P&Z was very helpful and accommodating. There was a couple stipulations on there that I might have had a little concern with. Currently, our hours are 7 days a week, 9 till 6. In the future, as needs arise and needs change, we may carry a little bit longer hours during the Christmas season selling Christmas trees or during the fall season with a nighttime corn maze activity, of which I would want to be able to remain in compliance during those times as well, as well as possibly as we expand into some of our other avenues, being able to open a little bit sooner to provide, whether it be prepared foods or otherwise, for our clientele. One of the other things that was a little bit of a concern, we do have an existing light in our parking lot, and it does aim away from the road. It's a standard street light style light. It does aim away from the road, but it does allow us to give our customers during those evening hours, a little security in our own building and establishment security. And if in the future I was to need to, I wouldn't mind placing a limited amount of light, but maybe another street lamp style light away from the road into our property. The existing light is probably about a 75 feet in from the roadway, if I remember it right.
So by raising that, you're probably referring to number four where it says they'll only be installed on buildings.
Yes, sir.
So we could scratch the on building.
On building, certainly.
Or you could allow for the existing pole light to remain and any additional lighting be required to be on the pole, on the building.
I think he just maybe made reference to the possibility of needing some
possibly,
elsewhere
yeah,
that
possibly
won't be on the building.
Secondary or third light. And they would, of course, aim to not be obstructing view of drivers. I realize that was one of their concerns, and that would be a concern of mine as I travel down the road. I realize that as well.
So you just put in security lights shall only or be directed downward away from impacting neighbors' properties. Period.
Yeah. Right.
And your hours on item number two, what do you have suggested hours you desire?
Yes,
you're saying start at 9 all the time, or you just want to? I understand the evening maze and the Christmas hours.
I guess if I had a preference of hours, it would probably be something along the line of maybe 7 until 10. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm not in that need at the moment, but if I was to have to desire a set of hours, that would probably be my desirable hours or no.
And these hours, Mr. Johnson, would be strictly, most of the time it would be exactly what we're doing here.
Yes.
But like Christmas time.
Yeah, during the Christmas season and during the fall season would be the two that confront those hours the most.
Because if you do the maze or
whatever. Yeah, we did a nighttime maze. It was a nice event for people that didn't want to go to a haunted house. They just wanted to go out and feel a little uneasy out in the cornfield.
What is your closest neighbor?
Our closest neighbor would be directly across the street. That house, we're 100 feet off the roadway, and their house is 200 feet, 150 off the road. And they're slightly offside. Mm-hmm. And then there's only one other lot that would be directly across the street that would be probably a similar distance.
And the maze is like
the maze would be behind our establishment,
which would be that
or directly to the side,
right?
And the lights would mainly be placed in the parking lot for that. And activity in a corn maze isn't very loud in that respect.
Right.
On your hours, or just 12 hours, about your typical day.
Short side.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly on the short side. But for the most part, that would probably encompass the majority of our days. Mm-hmm. The 7 to 10, if that was to be the example.
Now, when you say 7 to 10, is that the hours you want to be able to conduct sales?
I would.
Because you can be there working before you open for business, okay. Obviously, anytime.
Yeah.
That means 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. He means 10 p.m.
That's right. Correct.
You have plenty of time to work.
My preference would possibly be not to have any hour restrictions on there, but if there was to be hour restrictions, I would say 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. would encompass what we would need.
Yeah, you don't want to be out there anymore than you have to.
Sure, we would try to sleep at some point.
Yeah, the hours required by the commission or recommended by the commission were those stated by the applicant during the public hearing.
But after you've read that,
you've had a chance now to think about it, and he's
okay.
Not more reasonable hours for his benefit, I'm sure.
Right.
Any more questions of the applicant?
One other comment, if I may. We do have an existing, they mentioned the sign limitations, and we do have an existing sign in addition to our 32-square-foot sign that is a lighted marquee-type sign, arrow sign, of which I would like to remain on the property. It enables us to advertise.
What's the deal with that, Larry?
You only allow one sign. That's it goes to the board.
It goes to the board.
He'll apply board of adjustment for a variance in a number of signs.
Are we able to provide him a second sign through this conditional use process?
Not if it's a violation of the variance.
You have two existing now, you're saying?
I may.
You have two now?
Yes.
He does
not by permit.
Not by permit. How long they been there?
Well, that's a decision he'll have to make. He has to go to the Board of Adjustment.
It's our second season with both.
He could make one sign out of it as long as he'd have to allow for greater square footage.
We can do that.
If you went by the conditional use, the ordinance allows conditional use the same as a B1 district, it would be 150 square foot. Had one sign, two sided, 150 on each side. But typically in a conditional use, you only allow 32.
Right.
Can you combine them?
I could.
Yes, you could.
Probably, yes.
Yes, you can. Okay.
Up to 150 square feet.
Up to 100, yeah.
One
could
sign,
be up that
okay.
big.
Double sign, okay.
So you just take that number off.
So outside.
32 and we put 150 in.
You just take it out. Let the ordinance prevail.
Let the ordinance prevail.
Okay, just take out number one.
Okay. Are you going to modify the hours or just eliminate them, man? What is your pleasure?
Let's finish finish the hearing. Is there anything else you had, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. Is there anyone else here who is interested in this application, either in support of or in opposition? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. We will conclude the public hearing.
Mr. Phillips,
hours.
I'd just as soon scratch number one, and I'd just as soon scratch number two.
Okay.
And then number four, we'll take out the, starting on the fourth word, shall, take out shall only be installed on the buildings, and by doing that, it'll say any security lights shall be directed downward and away from impacting neighbor's properties.
Could you put that in the form of a motion?
I'd like to move that we approve conditional use number 1657.
Condition, right? Don't you ever.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
With the following conditions from the planning and zoning recommendation. Condition number three. Condition number four, as modified to read, any security lights shall be directed downward and away from impacting neighboring properties. Include number five and include number six.
Okay. Two.
I'll second that.
Motion by Mr. Phillips, second by Mr. Jones to conditional use number 1657 to modify the conditions by deleting one and two. Three becomes one, two becomes number two, or four becomes number two with the modification of security lights directed downward away from the impact of neighbors' properties, and five and six remain the same, equaling four conditions. Questions on the motion, Mr. Cole? Second by Mr. Jones. Is that correct?
Yes.
Call for the question on the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record recommendation of planning and zoning with the modified conditions, I vote yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes, also with the conditions as modified.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes, with the conditions.
My vote is yes with the conditions. Motion passed. Next case, change of zone number 1594.
It's an application of Rippard.
Could you hold up just a minute? Before we begin this last hearing, this could go on for half hour or so. So if some of you were here on the subdivision appeal matter on Isaac's Glen, if you want to go out in the hall, stretch your legs, or go outside, we'll make sure someone comes out and tells you before it begins. Pardon me, Mr.
Anybody else who wants to leave, now's a good time.
Next case is change of zone number 1594, Richard J. Poppleton.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential district to a C1 general commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for land lying on the western side of Central Avenue, 350 feet northeast of Harmon Street, and being more particularly described as Lot 24, Block 1 of the George E. Shockley Land Subdivision, and to be located on 5,000 square feet more or less. A public hearing on this application held by the Planning and Zoning Commission on May 25th of the year 2006. We heard comments from DelDOT that the present level of service B of Road 273 shall not change as a result of this application. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District in reference to soils and their capabilities. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Planning and Permit Division, making reference to that the site is located in the West Rehoboth expansion area, that the SOAR planning study assumption for the parcel is one EDU reflecting a residential parcel in a residential subdivision, that the department opposes this rezoning because of the potential for increased wastewater flow from commercial uses, that the proposed commercial zoning and commercial use is not located on residential lands previously identified for commercial use, that the proposed use does not conform to the comprehensive plan update, that the current system connection charge rate is $3,716 per EDU, that the location and size of laterals or connection points shall have to be determined by the county engineer, that the parcel is presently served by a 6-inch lateral, that a lateral upgrade at the owner's expense could be required if the use changes, that conformity to the West Rehoboth expansion area planning study will be required, and that a concept plan is also required. The commission also received a letter from the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust Incorporated in opposition. The commission was advised that the lot is part of a 4 lots that were downzoned from C1 General Commercial to GR General Residential in 1997 to allow for the placement of manufactured housing on the 4 lots. The application was represented by Richard Poppleton, who was present and gave testimony. There was a consensus of the commission that the use of the reference EnviroTech site needs to be verified. There were no parties present in support of the application. Minnie Smith Burton, Brenda Milburn, and Pete Keenan were present in opposition to the application and reference concerns. Minnie Smith Burton submitted a letter with her comments. There were 8 parties present in opposition. Mr. Robertson stated that the documents that the applicant attempted to submit to the record should not be a part of the record since they were not submitted in advance. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application, and on May 25th, they did defer action for further consideration. On June 8th of 2006, the commission discussed the application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1594 for Richard J. Poppleton to amend the comprehensive zoning map from GR General Residential to C1 General Commercial based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. 1, the project will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. 2, while I am sensitive to the concerns expressed by neighbors in this community, the project is at an area that is surrounded by C1 zoning. In fact, this property was originally zoned C1, but was rezoned to GR only so that a mobile home could be placed on it. And 3, this rezoning will make this parcel consistent with the others around it. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. Gentlemen, I think that's all I have.
Mr. Griffin, a point. Mr. Robinson stated that documents the application applicant intended to make part of the record were not to be submitted. Is that because trying to submit was required at the time of application?
They require it be submitted 72 hours before their hearing, and I assume it wasn't.
Okay, thank you.
Is the applicant here, Richard J. Poppleton? Poppleton, if you could tell us your name and address and explain your application to the council.
Okay, my name is Richard Poppleton. I live in Alexandria, Virginia, but I've had a second residence in Sussex County for 20 years, Rehoboth. So I'm here about half the time, but I have some handouts tonight. Are they allowed?
Yes. That's a commission rule, not a council rule.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the last one. I got 6 copies out of my memory. Okay, I'm here about the zoning change, obviously, and here are my reasons. I understand the early 70s, as the gentleman there said, the area south of Hebron Road was zoned C1 commercial, partly because of the Quillen Lumber Yard and store, which was still on the south, which was and still is on the south side of Hebron Road, and it's now operating as a rental equipment business. This area has over 40 parcels and is known as the Stockley subdivision named after George Stockley. The north side of Hebron Road is West Rehoboth, a residential neighborhood that includes over 60 parcels of land. This division of the two subdivisions is clearly shown on the county tax maps and I am submitting a copy for review. I'm also submitting an information sheet about the two areas from a well-known local real estate company, which states West Rehoboth is known as the residential parcels to the right of Hebron Road, and Stockley Subdivision is known as the commercial parcels, which are Hebron Road, including Harmon, Central, Johnston, and Malloy Streets. In 97, the owner of these four connected parcels in the Stockley Subdivision wanted to place trailers on these lots and rent them, so he had the zoning changed to residential. I own one of these four lots now, which was vacant land when I purchased it. Now there is a large pole building on another of these, one of these four lots, soon to be an office and a place to store equipment for a well-known and respected local business.
Can I ask you a question at this point?
Sure.
Did they get it changed, the zoning change on that lot to do this?
I haven't been clear about that.
Okay.
That's why I submitted a
point. I just questioned. Okay, yeah. I'm just curious. Okay.
I do not know.
Okay.
But I did submit a legal size in there, what I was able to find out, what is commercial, which is residential.
Okay.
And I marked all those four lots as residential. My lot shares a 50-foot property line with this business, and this new pole building is 5 feet from my property line. I do not believe my parcel is a suitable location for a residence, strictly speaking. I am submitting a photo of this building as viewed from my parcel, along with other photos of the commercial area. My parcel is in the center of the Stockley subdivision, and my parcel fronts Central Avenue. The only other residential parcel on Central Avenue is one of those four parcels that were rezoned in 97. My parcel is surrounded by C1 commercial properties, and I've shown on the county tax maps, which I'm submitting, which parcels are commercial and which are residential. Besides a large pole building 5 foot from my lot, there's another new pole building and two more buildings under construction. There is also a 10-story cell tower surrounded by an 8-foot-high chain-link fence with barbed wire. In fact, if my adjacent neighbors decide to install an 8-foot-high chain-link fence 1 inch from my property line, there's nothing I can do. These uses are allowed in C1 commercial zoning. This area has had more new commercial construction in the last few years than in the previous 20 years. And there are many empty parcels that will soon have a commercial structure on them. I'm asking the county council to rezone this parcel back to its original use, C1 commercial. This would conform my parcel to those surrounding it and with all of those in the Stockley subdivision. I'm submitting a copy of this letter along with letters of support of other Stockley subdivision C1 commercial property owners, including adjacent properties. On the other hand, I understand this local community. The local community is concerned, and they should be concerned with proposed changes in their area and community. I personally would like to see the children of the families that have lived here for generations to continue to live in West Rehoboth. I would like to see them prosper and build a thriving community. I have heard residents express at the last hearing that they would like to see playgrounds, affordable housing, and local businesses, not just warehouses. My small 5,000 square foot parcel is but a small part of this community. It might be possible to build a two-story building with a residence above and a commercial operation below, operated by someone in this community. I'm not sure if this mixed use is allowed in that area. I do know that whether or not my request for rezoning is approved, I will still be part of this community, and I will support its residents to build a better neighborhood. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Poppleton?
Marks, I got a question. This map that he submitted to us?
I don't have a copy yet.
George, you got that?
I got, let me look at it.
Right here, I'll give it to him. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's that much commercial in West Rehoboth?
The commercial zoning at West Rehoboth basically goes down the center line of Hebron Road.
It does.
And everything to the northern side, northwestern side was zoned GR, and everything to the southeastern side was zoned C1 and adopted in 1971 with the adoption of the comprehensive zoning map. There was a parcel, Robert Ames, I believe his name was, I think it was Robert Ames, right, applied to rezone lots 9, 10, 23, and 24 to GR so he could place mobile homes. And I forget who the applicant was on parcel 27, which is the other white spot in the orange.
Right.
That was also rezoned. Maybe before or after Ames, I'm not sure which. I didn't even look at that one, but it, right. They were rezoned. The parcel number 9, or lot, yeah, let me see, number 9, yeah. That's right behind it, Mr. Poplin's property. Went through the Board of Adjustment for Variances, went to the Commission for Site Plan Review, and was approved.
Is that the lot with the blue house on? That blue
That's little? The lot with the blue line around it.
Okay. I've seen that sitting there. Is it?
And the other statements he makes as far as the use is pretty accurate as far as what's there. But as I said, it was rezoned, or not rezoned, but actually zoned in 1971 with the adoption of the comprehensive zoning map to right. be PR on one side, commercial on the other, based on the existing uses at that time.
Right. Okay.
You purchased this lot when?
About a year and a half ago.
And you knew it was zoned GR?
I did.
Then why did you, if you didn't want a GR parcel, why did you buy that?
Because I thought there might be a chance I'd get it back. Not strictly. I mean, I bought it hoping I could get it changed.
Should have moved.
If not, c'est la vie. I mean, I but think it's more suitable as that. I know a lot of people that own and live in there and work there.
But your desire, you don't have a plan commercially for it. You just desire to change the zoning to increase property value?
No, I would like to have a business there. And as now, I think all I could do is put a house there, right? I mean, that's something I'd be good for. Correct? You could not operate any business in there without getting the zoning changed first.
Could you do a conditional use for a GR zoning, Mark?
Yes, you could.
What kind of business are you talking about putting there?
Well, I don't have one per se. I own a construction company back home. And it'd be kind of hard to move my business down here. I would like to live and work down here.
I guess you're saying from a land use perspective, it's appropriate to have this zone commercial because there's commercial all around.
Well, I thought it would conform, and also I thought that's what you needed to do. I didn't realize you could get a board of adjustment and put a commercial building, and I thought you had to get a commercial. And the ignorance on my part, I just assumed that was the next step.
Good.
Any additional questions of Mr. Poppleton?
No.
Is there anything you would like to add, sir?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Is there anyone else here in support of this application? Anyone else here who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Okay. Do you have a spokesperson? When you come to the podium, if you would please state your name and your address and tell us your reasons for opposition as briefly as possible.
Good evening. I'm Minnie Smith Burton. I live on 19770 Duffy Street, Rehoboth. That is in West Rehoboth. Mr. Poppleton stated that he would like to have a business in West Rehoboth. And before he said that he was going to build a warehouse. And we do not need any more warehouses in West Rehoboth. We have 3 there now and 1 being built. And we are trying to build a community for the people to continue to live there. And if we fill the community with warehouses, there will be no place to put other businesses or homes. And especially if Mr. Poppleton's lots are rezoned commercial, that means that he can build a warehouse. Because We were here a couple of weeks ago in opposition to Mr. Popperton's rezoning because he said he was going to build a warehouse. And a day or two later, we found that a man is unloading lumber just down the street from the other warehouses. And I stopped and asked him what was going to be built there. He said, well, it's going to be a stick building, and it's going to be like the one on the corner, same as the one on the corner. And the one on the corner is a warehouse. And we have three other warehouses. So we would not like to see any more warehouses. I have some pictures of the warehouses. I did get the one on the corner that he was talking about that's already built. But I have pictures that I would like for you to see just how our neighborhood looks at this time. And it's going to be, we know there's progress coming, but progress of warehouses, you wouldn't want that in your neighborhood. I don't think anybody here would. Because we have children and we like to build it up with playgrounds and affordable homes for them to live in. I'll pass these.
Did you like to make them part of the record? You want them back, or do you want? Can we make it part of the record?
It can be part of the record. Let's
go for a variant.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say at this time.
Thank you, Mr.
Someone else wanted to speak? Ms. Granke?
I am Mabel Granke, and I am a board member of the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. And the reason we are here tonight is because it is, and Minnie Smith-Burton serves on that board, and our director is here tonight, Roxy Sturgis. But the reason we are here tonight is for the very reason that Hebron Road, or Hebron, it seems to be pronounced either way, represents the life blood, if you will, of that community. It's how you access the community. And although one side of it may be commercial and the other side essentially residential, that does not take away from the fact that this begins to characterize the community. And when you have, as Mrs. Burton referred to warehouses, you are essentially establishing a dead area, if you will, that does not have community activity. And so what we have been trying to advocate and encourage is the fact that local businesses that can be of benefit not only to those who run them, but of benefit to the community. And if you put back on this land and other lands that may have that request, the general commercial zone, what is happening is once that zone is on the land, it isn't necessarily what an applicant may say they are thinking about. It is whatever that zone allows can then be brought and applied for. So it has been our hope that, as it happened at the corner of, if you remember, Hebron and Burton, the a company that came in there was made a conditional use, which pinned it down to that use. And so this is not to prevent a commercial activity, but with the hopes, particularly since the applicant has no particular goal or proposal in mind at this time, that it be thought of in terms of a conditional use so that it could be taken into consideration with regard to the needs of the community and our goal to revitalize and to provide affordable housing. Thank you very much.
Thanks, baby.
Anyone else?
Come forward, please.
Second forward. From the lady in the gray shirt. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Ms. Grotto.
He knows you.
Good evening. My name is Brenda Milburn, and I live at 11 Oyster House Road, and I'm the program director at Westside New Beginnings. Again, I come to thank the county council for helping us to keep the community as a community. You have helped us fund our community by keeping our trash, keep our street lights on in our community. But the most important thing that I'm living and witness today, that you have opened up the road that had been closed many, many years ago. You have opened up this road to show the beauty of people to come from Glade to see West Rehoboth as a community. In the dictionary, Webster, community means building homes, playgrounds, flowers, and different things. It does not mean to build warehouses. As the gentleman spoke, that years ago it was turned around for housing, and we would like for it to remain the way it is, because we've opened up the road for us to come more than one way, and you have fine homes across the street, very fine homes, rich homes that cost a lot of money to put a warehouse there in West Rehoboth, to me, again, will depreciate our community. When you gentlemen stand here or sit here to help us to keep our community clean and keep lights and keep trash, I hope that you would take this in consideration. Not only, again, I plead for the children, but I'm very thankful that the street is open so that other people can see what West Rehoboth is. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anyone else?
Stay right
up front. Come on.
Stay right there.
There you go. Sit right up front.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. That's all right.
Okay.
No, that's
good. Good evening, Councilman. My name is Linda Blumner. I actually live in Lewis, but I'm a friend to the children of West Rehoboth. I've been volunteering there for about 3 years. I go to the community once a week, in and out, a couple times in the course of either evenings or weekends. And I've noticed a change in the character of Rehoboth. On the entry, as has been said here, the entry to the community is Hebron Road. And you go into the community, past the rental place, and you come to storage units from, I don't know whether they're the city of Rehoboth's little fair booths or something, were strewn across one area. Now that's changed, and there's this towering storage building, a very impersonal, cold building on the entrance to a community. It may be commercial on your south side, as you said, but there are many homes through there as well. If you drive back into the neighborhood, there, it's residential as well, while there might be a few commercial buildings. There are 50 or 60 children present in that neighborhood, and I'd like you to have a face on these children so that you look at the neighborhood that you're changing, the faces in the beginning there. These kids have no immediate playground. Everybody's mentioned that to you, and I've heard and seen reported in the newspaper that many people coming forward asking for a variance say they'd really love to build a playground for these children, or they'd like to be a part of helping, you know, keep the neighborhood by adding a playground. But in fact, you've been, really, these people asking for variances have been chipping away at this historical Black community where homes, where the zoning was changed. I've heard that explained tonight, when zoning was changed from commercial to residential, it's because this neighborhood grew, and the houses that were on it, be they trailers, they were home to family members. And I would like to see you stand up to the speculation of people coming into this community, buying up a piece of land with the hopes of, you know, cashing in on their business and making a change, making it commercial, inch by inch, changing that neighborhood over. I hear in various town philosophies and so forth that we value diversity. This is a diverse community right between Rehoboth and Lewis, and it's a community that we need to hold on to for a mix of people who have been here and should get to be here, not be bought out and by speculators. So I ask you for these children of Rehoboth and the families there that you deny this variance and that you continue to deny variances changing residential setting to commercial in this neighborhood. Let me see. You buy what you buy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did you want your photographs back, Mrs. Plumner?
I'd like you all to see them at the end, but if you'd like them.
Next lady.
Good evening, Councilman. I'm not going to be here long. I would just like to say.
Could you give us your name,
please? Oh, sorry. Roxy Sturgis. I'm the executive director of the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. I want to congratulate this council for your efforts in over the last 2 to 3 years in instituting some conditions in this county for affordable housing. And I'd just like to say tonight that the salvation of West Rehoboth community is not just affordable housing, but is saving the land. That's the problem in the state of Delaware and in Sussex County. It's the land to build affordable housing on. And we want to save the community. We want to save the land. And we just ask you tonight to, it's all been said by the presidents that came before me, but I just felt that I had to ask you tonight to join with us in the future, not just with this request for a zoning change, but in the future that any change comes before this council for West Rehoboth, that it be considered, that you think of it and be mindful to ask for, we ask that you institute a conditional use on any construction for warehouses and business. And Mr. Palperton didn't have a specific business in mind. Well, I invite him tonight to join with the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust, as one of our goals for that community is an incubator for entrepreneurship to train the young people in that community how to run small businesses. And if he want to build something, build a small business, you know, on the bottom floor of his business, if he does a two-story, and help us to help the community with what he does there with his site. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Did I recognize everybody who asked to be recognized? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else here who has not been called on? Thank you. That will conclude the public hearing. Much pleasure, gentlemen.
Any questions? Play public hearing.
We can vote on it.
Mr. Lang,
sir,
did you say that he could do what he wanted to do in a conditional use? What can he do in the zoning now with the GR?
He could. Well, it's a residential use for a single-family dwelling or a manufactured home. Or he could apply for a conditional use when he decides what his use is intended to be. But he has to have a use to be able to apply for a conditional use.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced that he's really sure what kind of business he's going to put there. I mean, if he wanted to do a construction business, he could put a single-family residence there, and he could build a garage in the back for his truck, as long as he didn't have employees coming there. Could work out of his own shop, couldn't he? Out of his own building.
He could, as a single operator,
without
self-employed
employees.
Business.
Right.
On the road, but he wouldn't be able to use the shop for doing construction setups and things like that. He could use it for storage of his materials,
right,
as it related to his loading.
But he could do all that under condition in a GR.
Yeah, the GR's got the same home occupation characteristic as an AR district.
I agree.
Make a motion.
But he would, the conditional use would be if he was creating a business with employees.
So really,
with shipping and receiving and things like that.
He probably can already do now what he intends to do without any change of zone, unless he goes to some other type of business or brings employees there. Is that correct?
Yeah, we don't know what his intent is.
No, I'm convinced that I'm not sure he knows himself tonight what he intends to do. And when I first came on council, one of the first things I learned from one of my mentors on council, who is now deceased, that we don't change zoning just to... How about you, Mr. Cole? We don't change zoning just to... make it some more viable so they can sell it. That you have to have an intended use for it.
Let's make a motion. You want to read the title, Mr.
Read the title, Mr. Griffin.
Let me find it. Carmel Court.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Residential District to a C1 General Commercial District for a certain parcel of land in Lewis and Rehoboth 100 containing 5,000 square feet.
I make a motion we approve CZ of 1954.
Second. Point of order, you said 1594?
54.
Okay.
1594. Motion, Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Dukes, to approve changes zone number 1594, that of Richard J. Poppleton, as presented. Questions? Gentlemen, state your reason for voting. Mr. Cole.
I feel that the application is speculative in nature, and I feel that there's no clear intent as to his need for the change of zone. It's the applicant purchases it as GR parcel, and he's only owned it for a year and a half, and if he wanted to do this initially, he should have had a contingency in the contract to purchase, based on the change of zone. But I see no need established here tonight to change. No.
Mr. Cole votes no. Mr. Phillips?
Taking the emotion out of this and looking at it strictly as a land use decision, it would seem appropriate to request that this be reverted back to the commercial zoning that it was afforded in 1971, since by all indications, keeping it as a GR could be interpreted as spot zoning, which is something that we try to avoid. I certainly have empathy for the community and what they're trying to do there. But in this case, just looking at it from a strict land use perspective, it would be, in my opinion, appropriate to classify this parcel as C1. So with that said, based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Phillips votes yes. Mr. Jones?
I think I have to agree with Mr. Cole, even though it hurts me, if you wanted to have commercial property, where if you have a GR, you can file for a conditional use, and that, if you can almost do anything you want with the strings attached. If he wanted commercial, he should have purchased commercial. And my vote is no.
Mr. Jones votes no. Mr. Dukes?
Sort of a tough one. When I looked at it and I see all the commercial that's all around it everywhere, but my first inclination is to vote yes. However, and after listening to the applicant and not really quite sure what he intends to do with it, I think maybe it's he can do what he probably intends to do with it already with the zoning that he has. And then if he changes a business, or he comes up with a business that finds out what he wants to do with it, then he can come back for a conditional use, which I don't think the community would be opposed to as long as it was site-specific. So with that, I'm going to vote no.
Mr. Dukes votes no. With there being no direction by the applicant during his presentation, and purely speculative in nature, and with the information before us, and with what my colleagues have stated, my vote would also be no. Change of zone number 1594, Richard J. Poppleton, is defeated. Motion denied. Mr. Griffin.
We will, as the next item of business, begin the subdivision appeal hearing in the matter of Reynolds Pond, LLC.